most interesting thing to me about barbecues, and I, you know, I came from the fine dining world of food and started to learn more about barbecue, get more into barbecue about 20 years ago now. But what the most interesting thing about it to me is that it has this tremendous sense of community to it. You know, the people doing it look out for each other. They're competing against each other, but they're always looking out for each other too. And a lot of these teams travel with their families and their kids are there, and, you know, and everybody knows each other's kids. So not only the teams competing, but the people eating it, it is very, very much community. I've been cooking professional. I started working at restaurants when I was 13. I'm 53. So for 40 years, I've been, you know, cooking, you know, obviously went to school, went to the Culinary Institute in Hyde Park. That was in the 80s. And, you know, so I've continued to learn more and more, but there is not a single week of this show that goes by that I don't learn at least three new things.
That's Chef Michael Simon talking about what is so great about barbecue. I mean, that's one of his fortes. He's a great chef. And he talks about in this interview, his new series, Barbecue USA, and, you know, just how he does barbecue, what he's learned in visiting these barbecue competitions around the country. It's a really cool conversation. And I don't often get to talk to really world-class chefs. And so we real fun, cool, funny, interesting conversation with him that I think you're really going to enjoy. My secret to good barbecue is calling Chirpin' Chicken in New York City, because they have awesome ribs and awesome chicken, and it's barbecue. And so that's my secret. And it is a sense of community for me as well. As Michael just mentioned, when the delivery guy comes, I say hi and talk about the weather and then tip him. So that's the sense of community. So I would recommend my barbecue. It's really excellent and it's consistent every time I make it / order it. Okay. Enjoy Michael Simon. I'm doing shows on the road. Check out my website, paulmercurio.com. I've got permission to speak. My off-Broadway show is going out on tour now. We have dates booked in the fall. Check that out. So I hope to see you guys out on the road soon, and enjoy Michael. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. My guest this week, a terrific, terrific chef. You know him from the Food Network, Iron Chef. He's ABC's resident chef. He's he's an Emmy Award winner for his work on The Chew. And he has a great new series out, which is currently out, called Barbecue USA, which is a 6-episode series that is going to kind of take us all over the country. Michael Simon, great to have you on the show. Great to see you in person.
Yeah, really excited about season 2 of Barbecue USA, and it's good stuff.
Yeah, so you're going to kind of, these are existing competitions that are happening, and you're going to go visit and sort of check out the competition, check out the vibe, check out the food. Explain a little bit about what we're going to see.
Yeah, so we're traveling the country. Last year we did 6 episodes. This year we're doing 8, and we go around the country to the biggest barbecue competitions in the United States, with basically the same the most legendary pitmasters in the United States. So the competitions could have anywhere between like 50 and 200 teams competing in different regional specialties in different parts of the United States. So, you know, we hit all the big boys, and then we hit some kind of smaller local ones too. So you really get this special behind the doors or behind the scenes look in how competition barbecue is done, how it's judged, how it's cooked, how it's seasoned, the time that goes into it, the travel. I mean, some of these people travel, you know, 800, 900, 1,000 miles from competition to competition in a trailer, and then set up their rigs and start cooking. So it's
really,
it's a life for them.
Yeah. And it's sort of like it almost feels like NASCAR in a way, sort of like there's this kind of cult in a good way. And, you know, I've been to like Talladega and a couple of others, and, you know, we stay on the infield, have an RV, and it's like, they all know each other. They have these sort of parties in the infield, and it feels like the same thing, because it's not just the cooks, the chefs that are traveling thousands or hundreds of miles. It's just the people that want to enjoy it, right?
Oh, 100%. It is the most interesting to me thing to me about barbecues. And I, you know, I came from the fine dining world of food and started to learn more about barbecue, get more into barbecue about 20 years ago now. But what the most interesting thing about it to me is that it has this tremendous sense of community to it. You know, the people doing it look out for each other. They're competing against each other, but they're always looking out for each other too. And a lot of these teams travel with their families and their kids are there, and, you know, and everybody knows each other's kids. And, so not only the teams competing, but the people eating it, it is very, very much community.
I mean, you're an amazing chef, especially in the world of barbecue, but have you sort of like discovered things and techniques in sort of doing this where you're like, whoa, I didn't realize you could take shoe polish and rub it on ribs and it'd be that good. You know what I mean?
I've been cooking professional. I started working at restaurants when I was 13. I'm 53. So for 40 years, I've been, you know, cooking, you know, obviously went to school, went to the Culinary Institute in Hyde Park. That was in the 80s. And, you know, so I've continued to learn more and more, but there is not a single week of this show that goes by that I don't learn at least three new things.
Really?
Which is fantastic.
Share like one thing, if you can remember, like, were you like, I never did that, but I saw that and that is amazing or a great idea.
Well, a lot of these teams now are doing, you know, you think barbecue and you think low and slow, and that's how I've always cooked it. And, you know, it takes 14 hours for a brisket, 16 hours for a brisket, 5 hours for ribs. And there's people doing things hot and fast now, which is very counterintuitive to how I think. But it became so interesting to me that I went out and got a barrel. So I'm like, I gotta try. Like, my wife Liz is like, oh great, another piece of barbecue equipment in the backyard. I'm so excited.
That's hilarious.
You know, it's, I'm not saying I'm going to use it for everything now, because I won't, but to be able to do, like, I did my turkey in one for Thanksgiving, and I cooked a whole turkey in 2 hours. I smoked an entire turkey.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
And it doesn't dry it out when you're going that fast, that hot? No,
the way that the barrels are set up, they hold in a ton of moisture. So basically, instead of the heat source being offset with the smoke rolling across the meat, the heat source is underneath what you're cooking. And the barrel gets sealed, and you control the heat with your dampers. But the meat drippings, it's almost like grilling and smoking combined, because the drippings are hitting the coals and that flavor's coming back up into the meat, but it's also creating moisture in the barrel. So it creates an incredibly tender, incredibly juicy smoked meat. And I mean, until I started covering these competitions, I've never seen one. I probably saw one and just was like, oh yeah, whatever, bullshit.
Yeah.
But I tasted it and I'm like, oh God, what? Why am I spending 9 hours to smoke? Like, on Thanksgiving, I get up at 5 a.m. to cook for 40 people, and I have turkeys rotating throughout my house everywhere. Now I just set those barrels up. And I'm like, Liz, this year, she's like, what are you doing? I mean, people are coming over at 5. You haven't even put the turkeys out. I'm like, oh, I'm ready. Like,
I'm ready. I got my barrels. I got my barrels. Well, you know, I know you're Greek, Italian, Eastern European. I'm Italian. I grew up in Providence, Rhode Island. Never appreciated what Johnson and Wales was until I moved away and went to an amazing culinary school and hotel management school and everything else. But one of the things about being Italian, and I assume with the Greek, it's a very simple cooking, and they don't overcomplicate things. My mother's 95, and I'm convinced, like, she gets her provolone cheese, she gets it cut this thick. She's got her salami. She doesn't eat a lot of processed food, you know. And we were so Italian that my Uncle Archie, who was a barber, he had a barbershop where he only played like Frank Sinatra and had like Playboy magazines. It was like a guy's barbershop. But we would have these big Italian Sunday dinners, right? In his knotty pine basement in Providence, and like people smoking cigars and arguing about politics. But everything was fresh to the point where, you know, you have cold cuts, right? They didn't have just cold cuts. They had the meat slicer in their basement with loaves of like bologna and salami and the thing. It's got to be fresh.
No, and I grew up the same way.
And I would imagine that is once you become a chef of your caliber and you want to keep pushing the envelope and get creative, do you try to stay grounded to sort of the simplicity of that kind of cooking?
Yeah, I mean, I've all, fortunately, you know, growing up, you know, my mom, my mother's Greek and Sicilian. So, you know, she did, my dad's a good cook. My grandparents were good cooks. But, you know, in my household growing up, my mom did most of the cooking. And so the food was very simple and, you know, ingredient driven, simple. And when I was a young chef, I tried like to do a lot of different things and whatever. But as I grew as a chef and like I quickly realized that less is more. And, you know, if you get great product and have good technique, you're going to end up with great food. And that was kind of like, you know, like I still do fine dining and I do barbecue. But it's so funny to me because one is thought of as very like highfalutin and one is thought of as very casual. But the same technique really goes into both of them. Like
how so, for example?
Like when we opened our first barbecue restaurant, you know, we still searched for the best product we could find, the best meat, the meat raised the best meat we could find. And then there was a lot of technique that went into it, you know? So, I mean, arguably more technique sometimes or time than even goes into the fine dining world. Like in the fine dining world, you know, okay, you know, we get in ribeyes, we buy prime, we dry age it ourselves, we trim it. And then we put it on the grill and in 30 minutes it's or less, you know, 15 mm-hmm. minutes it's done and it's on the customer's table. Mm-hmm. You know, barbecue, I get in prime briskets, I dry age them a little bit and I smoke them, but that's a 14, 15, 16 hour process of love
right
before it hits the table. So it's like it's considered a much more casual aspect of food, but I would argue that the technique that goes in it is even slightly more driven. I like comparing it to Italian food. You know, to pound out a piece of veal and saute it up is done in no time. You know, to make prosciutto, it's going to take you 2 years. You know,
right.
To make salami is going to take you 90 days. So, you know, so those are always the part of cooking that I like. We, in our restaurants, we always cured and smoked our own meats and made our own bacon from scratch and, you know, did all those kind of things. So those were always the kind of things about food that I love the most. Mm-hmm. So I started getting into barbecue more and more. I was like, oh my gosh, this takes a lot of the things I love about food and brings it into a more single thought.
Right.
And my mentor and the guy that taught me a lot about barbecue, he passed a couple of years ago, was a guy named Mike Mills, who, you know, won more world championships in barbecue than basically anybody that ever lived. But I fell into him doing a show one time about 18, 19 years ago. And then he had eaten at Lolar Fine Dining Restaurant. And he's like, Michael, why don't you open a barbecue restaurant? I'm like, oh, Mike, this is what I do. He goes, yeah, but I'm sitting here, you cook with live fire, you have smokers in your restaurants, you're making and smoking your own bacons and sausages, and you're doing barbecue. You're just doing it at this different style. And I went and spent time with him and continued to just fall more and more in love with barbecue.
Tell me where science and art meet and diverge. So in other words, I understand that part of what you learn in culinary is the science of food, right? And the chemicals and everything and how things go together and don't go together. But at some point, is it like throw the script out and you go with your instincts and the art? And so explain how that either for you or just generally works, right? Like you got to know your basics, but then chefs are artists, right? The food is a reflection of who you are, what you feel, what you're passionate about. And how do you stay true to the science and still sort of let the art in you come out?
Well, you know, I always try to teach young cooks, like it's changed something. You know, remember I went to culinary school in the 80s and there was no Food Network. There wasn't, celebrity chef. That didn't exist. You know, I went to school to learn a craft. And, you know, a lot of the, you know, and there wasn't, you couldn't like look up a recipe on the internet and then try to recreate it. Like,
right.
There was a style of food you liked, you had to go work at that restaurant and learn it, you know? Yeah. So it was different in that sense. And all the people that I learned from early in my career were big on teaching the technique of cooking, you know? And that's how I try to teach too. I'm like, a recipe is a recipe. If you learn a technique, then you could take that technique and make thousands of recipes. So basically the way that I feel about food is you learn all the technique, and then as a chef, it's my job to infuse the flavors and passions and things that I want to put on the plate to reflect me.
When you say a technique, give one example of what you mean by technique.
How to roast a perfect chicken. So, you know, there's a method that you go through to roast a perfect chicken or smoke a perfect brisket or smoke a rib, you know, so. Once you learn how to smoke it or braise it or roast it or saute it or any of those things, now, like, once I learn how to smoke ribs, now the flavors that I put on the ribs are my choice.
That's who you are. Yeah.
You know, that's a reflection of me. Like, our barbecue that we do at Mabel's is, you know, I learned the technique from Mike, but I use flavors that are reflective of my upbringing in Cleveland.
Right. And like Bobby Flay is kind of known to like the hot, despite like, that's his kind of thing, right?
Bobby's a little bit more into Italian food also, but, you know, because he knows we have known for a long, long time, you know?
Yeah.
We're better than everybody else. So this one, now Bobby's Italian. So,
that's hilarious.
I've been best friends for 25 years. I never knew you were Italian.
Right, exactly. You don't even know what salami is. Right, exactly. That's hilarious.
I go, you can't go outside without sunblock 60 on. You're not.
Suddenly you're talking with your hands a lot. What is that? Come on.
Like, why are you talking to me like this? But yeah, I mean, the beautiful thing about his food is Bobby has great technique. When he was young, he worked for Jonathan Waxman, who's like one of the greatest chefs of our era. And he learned a lot about technique and simplicity of cooking. And then he took the things that he was interested in and loved and infused it into that.
And you do the same thing, right? Sort of with your, yeah.
Yeah, with the chilies and everything else. So, I mean, I feel as a, the chefs that are really great, the food reflects them, you know, and same when you watch Barbecue USA, it's the same with the pit masters, you know, and the chefs or pit masters that are doing things like the one, and they don't always win, by the way. It's like, it's really interesting. Like, we'll have 100 teams and I'll taste a ton of the food. And a lot of times the ones that I think are the best don't even place, you know, you're in a region, the judges in that region are used to specific flavors. And, you know, if someone's trying to be a little creative or make it whatever, but it's not the flavors of Memphis or wherever, they might not even place. But I'm fine with that too, because I love that the people in the barbecue business that I respect the most are the ones that kind of pour their soul into what they're making. And when they tell you the story, you get the flavors, you know,
their flavors reflect who they are and their story and everything. Hey, listen, it is so great to have you on, and I learned a lot. I hope my viewers and listeners did too. I want to have you back. We got a lot to talk about. I think we come from very common backgrounds. But right now the show is Barbecue USA on Food Network. Travel around the country with Michael. Check out some great barbecue. Great to have you on, man.
Good to see you, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, there you go. That's Michael Simon. Awesome dude. I want to have him on again. And I think we're going to go get drinks, and I'm going to make him make me barbecue. And then I'm going to take him to my favorite barbecue place, Chirpin' Chicken. Anyway, hope you enjoyed it. And please check out the website, paulmercurio.com. Come see me. I got shows coming up all over the country, including my off-Broadway show, Permission to Speak. And we will see you next week, everybody.